welcome to the Badger Politic. I'm Scott Stearns.
This is Paul.
Hey, Paul, last time we talked, we didn't have any Iowa results. Do we have any Iowa results to report?
Nope.
So what we know is that Bernie Sanders and Pete Buttigieg finished in the top two, and it looks like Pete took the most delegates based on the precincts that he was able to win, and Bernie Sanders got the popular vote.
Which doesn't count.
It doesn't count officially, but obviously his supporters are going to use that to make an argument that they have more support. On to New Hampshire,
plus
which took place yesterday.
Boots did pretty good.
He came in second.
Yeah.
And Bernie Sanders.
Many felt the burn. However, only about half as many felt the burn as 4 years before.
Yeah. Effectively, there were two candidates last time. Yes, there were more. There was Lincoln Chafee, and effectively, it was only Bernie Sanders and Hillary Clinton that were running.
What was very good to see was this time, the turnout in New Hampshire was up significantly from 2016. It was expected to set records in Iowa a week before. It didn't.
It still doesn't change the fact that caucuses are a pain in the ass, and primaries are, like, maybe a five-minute thing.
Last night in New Hampshire, they went, like I said, it was an increase of 17% over 16, and it was actually set the record for raw votes.
So in Iowa, Pete got 13 delegates, Bernie got 12. The vote percentage was 26.2% for Pete, 26.1% for Bernie.
The state delegate equivalent.
Yeah, in terms of the state delegate equivalents. And then if you go down the line after that, I mean, Warren ended up with 8 delegates, Joe Biden ended up with 6, Klobuchar for 1.
Warren actually had a respectable performance.
Yeah, well, she ended up above the threshold of 15%, which Biden and Klobuchar did as well. Nobody else did. In New Hampshire, Bernie ended up with 9 delegates, 25.7%. Pete ended up with 9 delegates, 24.4%. Amy Klobuchar really kind of came out of nowhere. Ended up with 6 delegates, 19.8%.
Bolt from the purple in Minnesota.
I thought she gave a great speech.
I love
last
that
night.
Saturday Night Live when the person impersonating her saying, "I've got a new book, The Land of 10,000 Laughs."
She obviously got some votes from those that did not meet that 15% threshold, because Elizabeth Warren ended up with 9.2% and 0 delegates. Joe Biden, 8.4%, 0 delegates. And then, you know, it goes down from there with the Steyer and Gabbard, Yang, etc. Amy Klobuchar, last night might have been her best night. We'll see what happens and see if she has a way forward. I don't know. Watching
Klobuchar
her.
Klobuchar. That's what it is.
Klobuchar.
Yeah. That's what 538 called it.
I mean, we'll see. I mean, we have Nevada coming up in a week and a half. And then after that, it's South Carolina shortly thereafter, and then Super Tuesday is...
I've said this for months, but Amy Klobuchar and Pete Buttigieg, they have something in common. Warren and Bernie and Biden can fight over the I-95 corridor. Buttigieg and Klobuchar can fight over the I-94 corridor.
That makes for a very good campaign slogan.
I do think there's something to that. I know it's a cliche, but hey, that's what cliches are all about. Or that's what politics is about, are cliches.
Bernie has frontrunner status right now, coming out of New Hampshire, but he definitely didn't achieve the same plurality of support that he did 4 years ago. It was interesting watching the breakdown of the map last night and the fact that candidates like Buttigieg cut into his support in college towns in New Hampshire.
Right.
Well-educated people chose to go another way, at least in some cases, not all, but yeah. So what that means going forward, I don't know.
So the moderates saw the biggest vote surge, like where they won, the vote went up above the statewide average. Where Bernie won, the vote went up, but very modestly, much less than the statewide average.
He had a lot of support last time, made a campaign of it, and this time he's got those people built in. Is he expanding his pre-existing coalition?
Yeah.
And I don't know, the evidence seems to suggest that he may not be.
No, other candidates are.
Yeah.
I'm not thrilled about these candidates, but at the same time, I do think that there's something to like about them.
The conundrum for voters in early primaries and caucuses, I guess, is which one's going to be the one that can get it done?
Right.
There is no way to have that empirical evidence today about what things are going to look like several months down the road.
If you took their policy positions, all of them would be to the left of, I think, every candidate who ran in 2008, including former President Obama. I mean, the only one who might have been to the left of them would be Dennis Kucinich.
So Biden finished fourth. We did mention him because he did get some delegates in Iowa, but in New Hampshire, he did worse. He got no delegates, finished fifth. I don't know where he goes from here. I mean, he went to South Carolina.
With Joe who?
Exactly.
Oh, Joe Biden. Oh, yeah. So, yeah, I
didn't even stop in Nevada on the way
I did say South he was Carolina. More progressive than he was then. He looks like a shapeshifter, and that's why he's not doing well.
It just feels like there's no steam in that engine.
No.
I come back to that he probably should have run 4 years ago.
And unfortunately for the Bernie-crats, I would argue that what is starting to hurt Biden is age here. Yeah. And Bernie doesn't look a whole lot better. And I think the lack of turnout in the Bernie constituencies points to that.
You think it's like, a lack of confidence that he can get it done.
That populism, economic populism, is working and is driving people. I think parts of the Bernie platform are actually working.
Yeah.
I just don't think that he's the right messenger for it. I certainly think that Joe Biden, you know, also kind of claims the mantle of the Obama platform,
yeah,
which is still broadly popular, not just among the Democratic Party, but just voters in general. I don't think he looks like the right messenger.
Well, in terms of Joe Biden, South Carolina is his last stand, I feel like. If he can't make a real showing there, I think it's done for him. Because
the core of his strength was the black vote.
Right.
Because there was some loyalty to him.
And it seems like what has happened in recent days is some of that support has gone over to, somewhat surprisingly, Michael Bloomberg,
right,
who got, I believe, 3 endorsements from members of the Congressional Black Caucus today.
And contrary to popular belief, watch Mayor Pete. He may scoop up more of that than you think.
Well, that has been the criticism of both Mayor Pete and Klobuchar today. I mean,
and Bloomberg. Now Bloomberg with the stop and frisk thing.
Well, the fact that they haven't been able to get very much.
I think that you may see that change very rapidly.
Yeah.
I really used to love and adore Elizabeth Warren. And then I was a little disappointed by her performance in her re-election in 2018 in Massachusetts. Pretty disappointed by most of her run for the presidency. Not so much in the policy-wise, but just in terms of stagecraft. The selfie thing, that's good.
Yeah.
But the rest of it, she looked like she was second-guessing herself on the stump.
She's very good at the retail politics. She's had a tough time, I think, trying to find her lane through this thing.
Last night, in a concession speech, she sounded great. A very unifying message. It was a very focused message. She looked very poised. I think she kind of has this, I got nothing to lose now. Mm-hmm. I'm going to lay out what I think are the stakes for our country. Let's not forget about Elizabeth Warren.
Meanwhile, waiting in the wings is Michael Bloomberg, who will compete starting Super Tuesday. Mm-hmm. He's running TV ads here in Wisconsin and all over the country. So that's a wild card that is waiting to
And that's Warren. The kind of reason I think that Warren might still have some currency. Because Bloomberg could crowd out the other, so to speak, moderates.
Buttigieg and Klobuchar.
Buttigieg and Klobuchar. And
Biden, if he's still around.
Who are actually, I would say, more progressive than Bloomberg is. But anyway, he could
I mean, Bloomberg 2 decades ago was a Republican who succeeded Rudy Giuliani as mayor of New York.
And he did do the stop and frisk stuff. And I mean, he did endorse George W. Bush for a re-election.
Bloomberg will be in the debates down the road here, and all the eyes will be trained on him amongst his competitors. And the first thing he's going to be called out about is the fact that he's got all this money, and in their eyes, he's trying to buy the race. If I'm Bloomberg, my response to that is, look, you know, I care about this country. I'm using all my resources to get it done. I have pledged to support whoever the nominee is and help them out.
And that's what he's saying.
He should pivot from there. If he really wants to get some support and gain some trust amongst people that are suspicious of his motives, he should come out for campaign finance reform and be like, I want free TV time. I want all the opportunities.
Yeah, I think the only problem with that is it looks like a little opportunistic, though. Well, here you're going to buy an election, but then you want...
Looks like opportunistic. I mean, the guy is being opportunistic by the fact that he has these.
But I think it's a little nakedly opportunistic. I actually think it could hurt him in the general election. Because it could make him look like a real hypocrite. And I don't think that...
He's operating under the current laws.
That's a problem I have with him. Not just how much money he has in buying an election, But I do worry about his electability. I do think that plutocrat versus plutocrat could go sideways for us.
Speaking of primaries, here in Wisconsin, coming up Tuesday, February 18th, we do have a very important primary for Supreme
Court. Wait, I can vote for Warren on the 18th?
We have Daniel Kelly, who is the incumbent Supreme Court Justice, who is up against challengers Jill Karofsky Ed Falone.
Can I vote for Pete Buttigieg on the 18th?
No.
My point is, the very underrated Wisconsin primary.
Yes.
Is this coming Tuesday?
Yeah, it's obviously been a little overshadowed by recent events. So hopefully there's enough awareness that people get out and vote next Tuesday, because this is really kind of a critical primary.
If we got enough people out to vote, listeners, the best case scenario is that everybody splits their votes between Falone and Karofsky, and we ace out Dan Kelly, Scott Walker's Federalist Society appointee, right-wing judge guy.
He's an incumbent, so I'm suspecting he will make it through.
Let me dream, Scott. Get out and vote for Falone or Karofsky.
Either one.
Vote for Karofsky or Falone.
More to come. These primaries are going to be happening fast and furious as we move forward. So, forward, Paul.
Forward.